The LifeSpring Media family of programs are made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. Thank you.
Hello and welcome back to the LifeSpring Family Bible. This is episode number 157. I'm your host, Steve Webb, and today we'll be reading 2 Kings chapters 15 through 17. Let's begin. Second Kings chapter 15. In the 27th year of King Jeroboam's reign over Israel, Amaziah's son Azariah became king over Judah. He was 16 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecoliah, who was from Jerusalem. He did what the Lord approved, just as his father Amaziah had done. But the high places were not eliminated. The people continued to offer sacrifices and burn incense on the high places. The Lord afflicted the king with an illness. He suffered from a skin disease until the day he died. He lived in separate quarters, while his son Jotham was in charge of the palace and ruled over the people of the land. The rest of the events of Azariah's reign, including all his accomplishments, are recorded in the scroll called the Annals of the Kings of Judah. Azariah passed away and was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. His son Jotham replaced him as king. In the 38th year of King Azariah's reign over Judah, Jeroboam's son Zechariah became king over Israel. He reigned in Samaria for 6 months. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, as his ancestors had done. He did not repudiate the sinful ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who encouraged Israel to sin. Shallum, son of Jabesh, conspired against him. He assassinated him in Ibleam and took his place as king. The rest of the events of Zechariah's reign are recorded in the scroll called the Annals of the Kings of Israel. His assassination brought to fulfillment the Lord's word to Jehu, 4 generations of your descendants will rule over Israel, and that is exactly what happened. Shallum, son of Jabesh, became king in the 39th year of King Uzziah's reign over Judah. He reigned for 1 month in Samaria. Menachem, son of Gadai, went up from Tirzah to Samaria and attacked Shallum, son of Jabesh. He killed him and took his place as king. The rest of the events of Shallum's reign, including the conspiracy he organized, are recorded in the scroll called the Annals of the Kings of Israel. At that time, Menachem came from Tirzah and attacked Tifsah. He struck down all who lived in the city and the surrounding territory because they would not surrender. He even ripped open the pregnant women. In the 39th year of King Azariah's reign over Judah, Menachem, son of Gadai, became king over Israel. He reigned for 12 years in Samaria. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not repudiate the sinful ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who encouraged Israel to sin. During his reign, Pul, king of Assyria, invaded the land, and Menachem paid him 1,000 talents of silver to gain his support and to solidify his control of the kingdom. Menachem got his silver by taxing all the wealthy men in Israel. He took 50 shekels of silver from each one of them and paid it to the king of Assyria. Then the king of Assyria left. He did not stay there in the land. The rest of the events of Menachem's reign, including all his accomplishments, are recorded in the scroll called the Annals of the Kings of Israel. Menachem passed away, and his son Pekahiah replaced him as king. In the 50th year of King Azariah's reign over Judah, Menachem's son Pekahiah became king over Israel. He reigned in Samaria for 2 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not repudiate the sinful ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who encouraged Israel to sin. His officer Pekah, son of Remaliah, conspired against him. He and 50 Gileadites assassinated Pekahiah, as well as Argob and Ariah, in Samaria in the fortress of the royal palace. Pekah then took his place as king. The rest of the events of Pekahiah's reign, including all his accomplishments, are recorded in the scroll called the Annals of the Kings of Israel. In the 52nd year of King Azariah's reign over Judah, Pekah, son of Remaliah, became king over Israel. He reigned in Samaria for 20 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not repudiate the sinful ways of Jeroboam, king of Nebat, who encouraged Israel to sin. During Pekah's reign over Israel, King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria came and captured Ijon, Abel-Beth-Maacah, Genoa, Kadesh, Hazor, Gilead, and Galilee. including all the territory of Naphtali. He deported the people to Assyria. Hoshea, son of Elah, conspired against Pekah, son of Remaliah. He assassinated him and took his place as king in the 20th year of the reign of Jotham, son of Uzziah. The rest of the events of Pekah's reign, including all his accomplishments, are recorded in the scroll called the Annals of the Kings of Israel. In the second year of the reign of Israel's king Pekah, son of Remaliah, Uzziah's son Jotham became king over Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. He did what the Lord approved, just as his father Uzziah had done. But the high places were not eliminated. The people continued to offer sacrifices and burn incense on the high places. He built the upper gate to the Lord's temple. The rest of the events of Jotham's reign, including his accomplishments, are recorded in the scroll called the Annals of the Kings of Judah. In those days, the Lord prompted King Rezin of Syria and Pekah, son of Remaliah, to attack Judah. Jotham passed away and was buried with his ancestors in the city of his ancestor David. His son Ahaz replaced him as king. 2 Kings chapter 16. In the 17th year of the reign of Pekah, son of Remaliah, Jotham's son Ahaz became king over Judah. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 16 years in Jerusalem. He did not do what pleased the Lord his God, in contrast to his ancestor David. He followed in the footsteps of the kings of Israel. He passed his son through the fire, a horrible sin practiced by the nations whom the Lord drove out from before the Israelites. He offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. At that time, King Rezin of Syria and King Pekah, son of Remaliah of Israel, attacked Jerusalem. They besieged Ahaz, but were unable to conquer him. At that time, King Rezin of Syria recovered Eilat for Syria. He drove the Judahites from there. Syrians arrived in Eilat and live there to this very day. Ahaz sent messengers to King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria, saying, "I am your servant and your dependent. March up and rescue me from the power of the king of Syria and the king of Israel, who have attacked me." Then Ahaz took the silver and gold that were in the Lord's temple and in the treasuries of the royal palace and sent it as a tribute to the king of Assyria. The king of Assyria responded favorably to his request. He attacked Damascus and captured it. He deported the people to Kir and executed Rezin. When King Ahaz went to meet with King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria in Damascus, he saw the altar there. King Ahaz sent to Uriah the priest a drawing of the altar and a blueprint for its design. Uriah the priest built an altar in conformity to the plans King Ahaz had sent from Damascus. Uriah the priest finished it before King Ahaz arrived back from Damascus. When the king arrived back from Damascus and saw the altar, he approached it and offered a sacrifice on it. He offered his burnt sacrifice and his grain offering. He poured out his libation and sprinkled the blood from his peace offerings on the altar. He moved the bronze altar that stood in the Lord's presence from the front of the temple, between the altar and the Lord's temple, and put it on the north side of the new altar. King Ahaz ordered Uriah the priest, "On the large altar, offer the morning burnt sacrifice, the evening grain offering, the royal burnt sacrifices and grain offering, the burnt sacrifice for all the people of Israel, their grain offering, and their libations. Sprinkle all the blood of the burnt sacrifice and other sacrifices on it. The bronze altar will be for my personal use." So Uriah the priest did exactly as King Ahaz ordered. King Ahaz took off the frames of the movable stands and removed the basins from them. He took the sea down from the bronze bulls that supported it and put it on the pavement. He also removed the Sabbath awning that had been built in the temple and the king's outer entranceway on account of the king of Assyria. The rest of the events of Ahaz's reign, including his accomplishments, are recorded in the scroll called the Annals of the Kings of Judah. Ahaz passed away and was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. His son Hezekiah replaced him as king. 2 Kings chapter 17. In the 12th year of King Ahaz's reign over Judah, Hoshea son of Elah became king over Israel. He reigned in Samaria for 9 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not to the same degree as the Israelite kings who preceded him. King Shalmaneser of Assyria threatened him. Hoshea became his subject and paid him tribute. The king of Assyria discovered that Hoshea was planning a revolt. Hoshea had sent messengers to King So of Egypt and had not sent his annual tribute to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria arrested him and imprisoned him. The king of Assyria marched through the whole land. He attacked Samaria and besieged it for 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea's reign, the king of Assyria captured Samaria and deported the people of Israel to Assyria. He settled them in Hala along the harbor, the river of Gozan, and in the city of the Medes. This happened because the Israelites sinned against the Lord their God, who brought them up from the land of Egypt and freed them from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. They worshipped other gods. They observed the practices of the nations whom the Lord had driven out from before Israel and followed the example of the kings of Israel. The Israelites said things about the Lord their God that were not right. They built high places in all their cities, from the watchtower to the fortress. They set up sacred pillars and Asherah poles on every high hill and under every green tree. They burned incense on all the high places, just like the nations whom the Lord had driven away from before them. Their evil practices made the Lord angry. They worshipped the disgusting idols in blatant disregard of the Lord's command. The Lord solemnly warned Israel and Judah through all his prophets and their seers, "Turn back from your evil ways. Obey my commandments and rules that are recorded in the law. I ordered your ancestors to keep this law and sent my servants the prophets to remind you of its demands." But they did not pay attention and were as stubborn as their ancestors who had not trusted the Lord their God. They rejected his rules, the covenant he had made with their ancestors, and the laws he had commanded them to obey. They paid their allegiance to worthless idols and so became worthless to the Lord. They copied the practices of the surrounding nations in blatant disregard of the Lord's command. They abandoned all the commandments of the Lord their God. They made two metal calves and an Asherah pole, bowed down to all the stars in the sky, and worshipped Baal. They passed their sons and daughters through the fire and practiced divination and omen reading. They committed themselves to doing evil in the sight of the Lord and made him angry. So the Lord was furious with Israel and rejected them. Only the tribe of Judah was left. Judah also failed to keep the commandments of the Lord their God. They followed Israel's example. So the Lord rejected all of Israel's descendants. He humiliated them and handed them over to robbers until he had them thrown from his presence. He tore Israel away from David's dynasty, and Jeroboam, son of Nebat, became their king. Jeroboam drove Israel away from the Lord and encouraged them to commit a serious sin. The Israelites followed in the sinful ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and did not repudiate them. Finally, the Lord rejected Israel just as he had warned he would do through all his servants and the prophets. Israel was deported from its land to Assyria and remains there to this very day. The king of Assyria brought foreigners from Babylon, Cuthah, Ava, Hamath, and Sepharvaim and settled them in the cities of Samaria in place of the Israelites. They took possession of Samaria and lived in its cities. When they first moved in, they did not worship the Lord. So the Lord sent lions among them, and the lions were killing them. The king of Assyria was told, "The nations whom you deported and settled in the cities of Samaria do not know the requirements of the God of the land, so he has sent lions among them. They are killing the people because they do not know the requirements of the God of the land." So the king of Assyria ordered, "Take back one of the priests whom you deported from there. He must settle there and teach them the requirements of the God of the land." So one of the priests whom they had deported from Samaria went back and settled in Bethel. He taught them how to worship the Lord. But each of these nations made its own gods and put them in the shrines on the high places that the people of Samaria had made. Each nation did this in the cities where they lived. The people from Babylon made Succoth-Benoth, the people from Cuth made Nergal, the people from Hamath made Ashima, and the Avites made Nibhaz and Tartak. And the Sepharvites burned their sons in the fire as an offering to Adrammelech and Anammelech, the gods of Sepharvaim. At the same time, they worshipped the Lord. They appointed some of their own people to serve as priests in the shrines on the high places. They were worshiping the Lord and at the same time serving their own gods in accordance with the practices of the nations from whom they had been deported. To this very day they observe their earlier practices. They do not worship the Lord. They do not obey the rules, regulations, law, and commandments that the Lord gave the descendants of Jacob, whom he renamed Israel. The Lord made an agreement with them and instructed them, "You must not worship other gods, do not bow down to them, serve them, or offer sacrifices to them. Instead, you must worship the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt by his great power and military ability. Bow down to him and offer sacrifices to him. You must carefully obey at all times the rules, regulations, law, and commandments he wrote down for you. You must not worship other gods. You must never forget the agreement I made with you, and you must not worship other gods. Instead, you must worship the Lord your God. Then he will rescue you from the power of all your enemies." But they pay no attention. Instead, they observe their earlier practices. These nations are worshiping the Lord and at the same time serving their idols. Their sons and grandsons do just as their fathers have done, to this very day. You know, after reading the phrase, Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who encouraged Israel to sin, I got to thinking, wow, for the rest of time, for the rest of human history, Jeroboam, son of Nebat, is going to be remembered as the one who encouraged Israel to sin. What a legacy, huh? And you know, each one of us can have a legacy for our descendants. The question is, will the legacy be a good one or one filled with shame? Thanks for joining me today. I'm Steve Webb. God bless you. If you enjoyed this program, will you consider helping to support LifeSpring Media? Details are at lifespringmedia.com. Thank you.